What comes to mind when I say Jewish food? Bagels and lox? Kugels and knishes? If you're south of the Mason-Dixon line, the answer might be closer to matzo ball gumbo.
I didn't know what a bagel was. I didn't really know anything about Jewish food, so I didn't know what a kugel was. The only thing I knew was matzah and matzo balls.
You're listening to Gravy.
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 Stories of the changing American South through the foods we eat. We are a production of the Southern Foodways Alliance. I'm Tina Antolini. Today we learn what it means to navigate a Southern Jewish identity in the small town of Natchez, Mississippi. Natchez offers the kind of picturesque backdrop you often see in Hollywood's rendition of the antebellum South. Plantation homes with stately white columns, live oaks draped in Spanish moss, paddle wheel boats at the river dock. But Natchez was also home to a large and thriving Jewish community as early as the 1840s. And Jews in Natchez pieced together a culture that blended flavors of the old world with elements of their adopted home. Reporter Robin Amer grew up on the East Coast, but her Jewish family has lived in Natchez for more than 160 years. Now, they're among the last Jews left. She went back to Natchez to catch a glimpse of a culture and a community about to fade from view.
When I was little, my grandmother dressed me up in hoop skirts and pantaloons for the annual pilgrimage tours. She served Kentucky pie made from pecans and bourbon. She took her own bourbon straight up with a twist. She drove me past plantations and exclaimed with pride, "This is truly the South." This was the old South, the gracious and genteel South, the white, moneyed, privileged South. And in our case, the Jewish South.
Do you want to tell me what you had for breakfast this morning?
I had a lovely breakfast this morning. Yeah, with pancake and eggs.
This is my grandmother, Elaine, or as we call her, Pi. That's Pi as in puddin' pie. Pi is 96 now. Her voice and her memory have faded with age, but I've been recording her for a long time. This is how she sounded when I interviewed her back in 2002.
Tell me what you had for breakfast this morning.
Well, Robin, I had a half bagel and a cup of coffee. And your mother sent us some coffee. And it's delicious.
What did you have for breakfast? As a reporter, I ask this question at the start of every interview, both to check the mic levels and to put my subjects at ease. It's like a refrain. But food itself provides another kind of refrain, a lens through which I can understand the unique culture my Jewish family built in Natchez. And I want to understand it, because mine may be the last generation around to try. There was a thriving Jewish community here. I have ancestors who were early adopters of Reform Judaism and others who fought for the Confederacy. We ran an upscale clothing store that catered to socialites. We kept alive a temple built for hundreds of families. But now, the Jewish community is so small that you can tick off the names of its members like you're running through the guest list for a small dinner party. Bob and Elaine, Beau and Paris, Jay Lehman, Elise Rushing, and Jerry Krause. And that's about it. But if you want to see how big and alive the Jewish community once was here, the best place to start is the Natchez City Cemetery. Ironic, I know. But Natchez Jews had a burial society before they had a temple. And this sprawling green cemetery has an old Jewish section. I'm there with Terry Tillman. She's a close family friend, as are most of the people you'll hear in this story. But Terry is also special for another reason. She's one of several Gentiles who have become custodians of Jewish history as the community in Natchez has dwindled. Terry represents the Jewish community on the board of the cemetery. And as a board-certified genealogist, she's pored over the family histories of nearly everybody buried here.
I mean, everybody up there has a story, and I don't know them all. I know a lot of them.
We walk up a set of stairs and through an old brick archway covered in ivy. The granite keystone above the arch reads, "Jewish Cemetery, 1844 to 1899. Inside the low brick wall, there are two long rows of white marble tombstones. The birth dates inscribed tell one story. Bavaria, 1821. Prussia, 1831. The dates of death tell another. Fayette, 1855. Natchez, 1899.
The biggest wave of Jews to arrive in the 19th century was in the 1840s. They came from France, mostly from Alsace, and they also came from various areas of Germany, some of which are now in Poland.
A few of the tombstones are engraved with a depiction of the Birkat Kohanim, the blessing that rabbis offer by raising their hands overhead and splitting their fingers into the shape of the letter V. Then there's the grave of 7-year-old Rosalie Beekman. Her tombstone is engraved with 3 roses.
One of which is just a bud, and that signifies that her life was cut short.
Rosalie was the only person killed in Natchez during the Civil War. She was struck down by shrapnel when a Union gunboat shelled Natchez from the river. Someone has left her a tiny Confederate flag. And something else, something unexpected. Her grave is covered with a bed of thick, tangled rosemary. Its boughs are spiny and deep green and dotted with tiny blue flowers. It smells fresh and pungent. This plant stops me. I've never seen so much rosemary in one place, and I normally associate this herb with the kitchen, with savory dishes like lamb or roast potatoes. So what is it doing on this child's grave? Terry knows.
Rosemary is traditionally seen as a plant of remembrance.
In early English folklore, rosemary was said to improve memory. In later times, mourners placed rosemary in the hands of the dead, or wore it during ceremonies commemorating important battles. This link between food and memory, between food and history, I have experienced it here before.
Well, how could you visit Mimi with curls in your hair? Mimi would want me to look my best, and you know it.
Mimi was Pi's mother, my great-grandmother. She is buried here, in our family plot. We made this visit in 2002, on Mimi's yard site. That's the anniversary of her death.
It's amazing that we're here on this date.
It is.
Visiting on this date is a Jewish tradition of remembrance. Mimi is buried next to her parents, Pi's grandparents. Pi looks down at her grandmother's grave.
She was a cook. She was Sarah Gross Ehrman, and she was remarkable. She had more spunk and more spirit. And about 5 or 6 years before she died, she broke her hip. But that didn't stop her. And she tried to teach Dee Dee about cooking. And Dee Dee did accept it because she was such a good cook. But she was a remarkable person. How old was she when she died? 77.
There's a lot going on here. A lot of memories flooding back all at once. Memories of Pi's grandmother, Sarah, and of Dee Dee, their family cook. Now, this relationship between African-American cooks like Dee Dee and their white Jewish employers, like my family, is complicated enough to warrant its own story.
And actually, we'll go into it a bit next week on our website, southernfoodways.org.
But this moment stuck with me. Visiting her grandmother's grave reminded Pi, first and foremost, of her grandmother's cooking. She's standing in a graveyard, but I can see her mind wandering back to the kitchen of her childhood home. I found that this persisted. Food memories would pop up in the most unexpected places, triggered by the most unexpected moments. Those moments were like a secret clue to our family's history. Like the rosemary bush on Rosalie's grave. To understand Jewish food culture in Natchez, you need to know some basics about Jewish food culture as a whole. Traditionally, Jews follow the laws of kashrut. They keep kosher. There's strict regulations about what you can and can't eat. These rules are long and complicated, but the most important ones are also the easiest to remember. No pork, no shellfish, no mixing milk and meat. The opposite of kosher is treif. So like a cheeseburger, for example, a beef hamburger with cheese on top, is very treif. A lot of modern secular Jews completely ignore these rules. I mean, I didn't grow up keeping kosher. My dad's signature dish on New Year's Eve was a shrimp cocktail. But Jewish food culture in Natchez defies kosher law in a way that...